The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. We will get to this breaking news from the morning in a little bit and offer a chance for you to call in at 303-696-1971 on this. President Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States, the 45th president, putting out a post on Truth Social this morning, saying that he expects to be arrested on Tuesday of next week, and also urging protest, saying, "Our nation is now third world and dying. The American dream is dead." As Newsweek sums it up, Trump's post comes amid increased speculation that the former president could soon be indicted as part of the Manhattan DA's probe into a $130,000 reimbursement paid to former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen for a payment he made to adult film actor Stormy Daniels before the 2016 presidential election. Of course, if Trump is indeed arrested on Tuesday, this would be historic because never have we seen a current or former president arrested before. Richard Nixon came the closest, but he resigned and was able to work things out in that way. So could history be made on Tuesday? It looks like it. And I'm saying that as an objective comment about history. Doesn't mean I'm saying it's a good thing. It's not a good thing for the country when a former president is arrested. We'll pick up the conversation on that here in just a bit. In the last segment, or last hour, we replayed my interview with Brent McCorkle, co-director of the tremendous hit Christian film, Jesus Revolution. And it really is a tremendous movie in how it was done. I was extremely impressed in a variety of different ways with it when I saw the movie on Thursday. Kelsey Grammer stars as the late Pastor Chuck Smith, and Joel Courtney is Greg Laurie, who is still alive and well. And we will be talking in just a moment with somebody who knew Chuck Smith, knows Greg Laurie, has much to say because he was part of that Jesus Revolution. But I want to play a snippet of Kelsey Grammer, again, who portrays Chuck Smith in Jesus Revolution, talking about getting this script.
Now, what resonated with you most about this particular role and story?
Well, when I was having a sort of a late night, and I sat in my living room and I was thinking, geez, I want to do something that actually has some value beyond just the fact that I'm doing another role or something that I enjoy playing. And the very next morning, this script was delivered to my house. And
Oh, seems like divine intervention.
It was a little bit of divine intervention, yeah.
Gino Gerasi is the founding pastor of Calvary South Denver. He, of course, is host of Crosstalk on KRKS, our Christian Talk and Teach sister station. And Gino Gerasi became a Christian at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, which is basically where Jesus Revolution takes place. And I'm very pleased to be joined by Gino now. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. So I know you listened to my interview with Brent McCorkle, co-director of Jesus Revolution. As somebody who was part of Jesus Revolution, who knows this and knew the seminal figures of the film, let me just start with a big picture question, and then we'll get more into some nitty-gritty because I'm fascinated by this conversation that we're about to have. What did you make of it, Jesus Revolution?
I loved the film, and because of the story that it tells. And but what I point out is that it is exactly that. It is a film. It is not a documentary. So when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the what you talked about earlier, the artistic license, I was able to get past that. But the way that I would think about it, too, is the Jesus Revolution isn't simply about the Jesus Revolution, but it's about the story of a young man named Greg Laurie, his place in time and space and in that revolution, his journey, his relationship, how God uses Lonnie in his life for this transformative event, and then how God uses Chuck Smith. And so as a story, if you will, it's powerful. It's powerful because they develop the characters. You begin to care about the characters. You begin to care about what's going on in their life, the trauma and the tragedy and the difficulties that they face. And then the redemptive elements of is it true? Is it possible that something could be transcendent and true? Is there a God? Is there a Jesus? Can sin be forgiven? Can people be made whole? All of those elements begin to play an important part in the story. And so I thought all of that was just powerful and wonderful.
What do you make of the acting that was done by Kelsey Grammer and Joel Courtney in particular? And gosh, I have it here, the actor who plays Lonnie Frisbee right. as well.
Sure. And the way that I would say it, or I think about it, is I think they do a commendable job based on the script that's handed to them. And of course, one of the things that I think about is both the representation and, dare I use the term, Jimmy, misrepresentation. The representation of Chuck being a beleaguered pastor who's on the verge of having his doors shut because of it being a fuddy-duddy church just simply isn't true. Lonnie and his portrayal of the, you know, the person who plays the chosen, Romy, and then who plays Lonnie, the way that I would think about it is in real life, Lonnie was a far more complex and bizarre character. And so in the film, it portrays Lonnie as being as normal as you can possibly be, given that you're a hippie, you know, living in the late 60s and the early 70s. I thought the representation of Greg was the best of all as a conflicted young man who's tortured by his own upbringing, his lack of identity, the tragic circumstances surrounding his mother, the discovery that his birth father was a one-night stand. You can imagine that all of those things, you know, when you're 16 years old and you're 17 years old, these are the things that you begin, well, who am I really? Why am I here and what am I doing? So all of that I thought was interesting.
Jonathan Roumie, by the way, is the actor portrays yeah. Lonnie Frisbee yeah. in the film. Again, we're right. talking with Gino Geraci here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. So let's broaden this out a little bit into the Jesus movement itself, okay. because in 1973, you became a Christian, and you became right. a Christian as part of this movement in that tent that is portrayed in the film. Talk to us about that moment and what it meant to you, but also what you were noticing at the time about this real movement that ended up being plastered on Time magazine and called Jesus Revolution.
Well, at the time, it's 1973. Think about what's going on. Roe v. Wade has just passed. I'm a junior in high school. The Vietnam War is winding down. Richard Nixon is, like you alluded to earlier, you know, with this current former president being arrested. This is the disintegration, if you will, of the Nixon presidency. But I'm a 16-year-old, but I'm a person who isn't on some sort of spiritual journey. I'm not interested in being a Christian by any stretch of the imagination. Jimmy, if anything, as a 16-year-old and a junior in high school, I'm hostile. I'm hostile to religion in general, to Christianity specifically. And so, but I am countercultural. I have long hair. I am a typical kid, but I'm more than just a typical kid. I am one of those kids who experimented with drugs and marijuana and LSD and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm far more willing to identify myself as a hippie than the other thing. And by the way, in my senior year of high school, I'm living in a Jesus commune, by the way. So my senior year of high school,
wow,
I live in a Jesus commune. But in my junior year, a varsity basketball player and a couple of cheerleaders invite me to go to a concert at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I don't know anything about Calvary Chapel. I don't know anything about the tent. I don't know anything about the revival, other than I knew that there were Jesus freaks, and I didn't particularly care for them. But I was given the opportunity to have a free meal and maybe interact with a couple of cheerleaders, so I took it. But by the time I get down there, I'm angry, hostile, even bitter. I realize I don't want to be there. I certainly don't want to be these people. And so I literally ditch them at the restaurant where we are, which is by Sunflower and MacArthur Boulevard, where Calvary is located. It's a tent. And so rather than hitchhike home, which is about 2 hours from Orange County to where I lived in Apple Valley, I decided I'm going to go into this tent and hopefully find my friends who brought me down so I don't have to hitchhike home. And music, a concert is playing, and there's over 1,000 kids. You saw it represented in the film. There's this tent with literally 1,000 young people, long hairs, bell-bottom pants, just the whole thing. And so I'm comfortable because everybody looks like me, and the music is actually pretty good. And the person who's teaching the message that night is the guy who took over for Lonnie. So there's a scene in the movie where Lonnie and Chuck separate, and Lonnie goes to Florida. And the person who was preaching that night was teaching from a passage in John chapter 11. It's that very famous story of Lazarus. You'll remember Lazarus,
yes,
dies. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha. And so I'm listening to this story, and I'm trying to not be overly critical, but I am critical. I actually literally don't believe anything this guy's saying. But as the story unfolds, and I'm hearing the story of this brokenhearted girl whose brother is dead, it's hard to just be disconnected from the story and go, anybody who's ever experienced a tragedy, you listen to the story, and she's upset because Jesus hadn't shown up, and she's thinking if Jesus had shown up, her brother might be alive. And so there's a particular sentence in John chapter 11 where Jesus basically says, roll away the stone where the dead brother is. And in the old King James, Jimmy, it says, the sister says, but Lord, he stinketh. So in modern terms, he's a decomposing, rotting body. And Jimmy, I could swear that I smelled the stench of decomposition coming from my own heart and my own life. It was as if I was rotting. It was as if there was something wrong, something tangibly, fundamentally wrong with me. I was just overcome with this sense of horror and self-loathing, the corruption of my own life, the reality that I was empty and dead. And then, of course, as the story progresses, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And then this mummy-like figure, comes out, unwrap him. But at that moment, just at that split moment, I'm thinking to myself, if this Jesus is real, And if he can bring a rotting, decomposing body back to life, I'm wondering if he might be able to do something for me. And at that moment, the pastor said, you might be wondering if Jesus can do something for you at that very moment. And it was as if the lights came on. It was as if the darkness started to recede and the invitation was made. Now, remember, I've already ditched the people who brought me there. I've already forgotten that I'm even looking for them. And I respond to the invitation. Remember, it's their cheerleader. So, and by the way, this is at a time when hundreds of young people are responding to the message. But that night, it was a bit of a bust. Only three people came forward, and I was one of those three people. And when my friends who brought me, who didn't even know what happened to me, saw me going forward, they started screaming and yelling and cheering. And of course, well, the rest is history. I wow. ride home. And my best friend is a guy named Skip Heitzig. He would come over to my house to regularly get high on marijuana. I told him what happened. And he says, you're such a liar. People can't change overnight. You can't just change like that. And he's about 6'6". He pushes me up against the wall and he says, you're not even a good Catholic. And by the way, Skip Heitzig would later become, like Greg Laurie, a pastor of one of the 10 largest churches in America. This is an exciting time. It's a transformative time. And that's my brief story.
Yeah. Wow. It's remarkable, especially given your trajectory to this very day and what you have done at Calvary South Denver and as the founding pastor, now pastor emeritus, and what you're doing on the radio. So as you watch a film like Jesus Revolution and you reflect on your own experience as part of that movement, one thing that I think is so important is to think about its resonance with today. And I talked a little bit about this with co-director of Jesus Revolution, Brent McCorkle, briefly, because we're getting low on time in this segment. What do you think is the biggest thing that really hits home today in this very divisive moment? I thought it was very insightful when Brent said something to the effect of a lot of people are actually putting their faith more in politics today than actually in their faith. I thought, okay, there's a lot to that point, given the moment that we are in.
Well, given the moment that we're in, I'm reflecting on what happened at Asbury a couple of weeks back, where I'm hearing a 19-year-old being interviewed saying, tell me what you just experienced. This 19-year-old girl, Jimmy, comes out of this event, and she says, my generation has been overwhelmed by despair and depression and disappointment, and we want something else in our heart. So again, to me, there is a cultural manifestation, but because of the cultural manifestation, there's an individual manifestation where a growing group of young people are saying, hey, you know what? The social, political, and cultural solutions that people are offering aren't working. And they're wondering what I wondered 50 years ago. Is Jesus real? Can he change your life? And you'll remember there's a scene in the movie where there's a combative kind of thing. There's a tension, a growing tension between Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee. And the character, Greg Laurie, is talking to who's going to be his wife, Kathy. He's wondering if this is just another high. Is this some sort of emotional, psychological, short-term solution? I'm high right now, but is it all going to come crashing down? Does it have longevity? And you flash forward 50 years, Harvest and Harvest Crusades. And again, Greg Laurie being the pastor of one of the 10 largest churches in America. And the reality of that his life was not just substantially changed 50 years ago, but it sets in motion a series of changes that quite literally change the world.
Gino Geraci joining us on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. If you could stick around, we could pick up for a few more minutes on the other side of the break. I got a couple more things that I'd like to ask you, Gino, and we'll continue on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show and also get to the news about President Trump, former president of the United States, now may become the first ex-president to be arrested, saying on Truth Social this morning that he expects exactly that to happen on Tuesday. We'll take your calls on that. Much more coming up on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. It's Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. May Dusty Hill rest in peace. Jesus just left Chicago bringing us back. Sometimes you just got to let the music breathe, especially when Leroy cranks it up on the speakers in the studio, not in his headphones. That's when I know I've picked a darn good tune amidst the best bumper music known to man, nearly 10 years running. Gotta love it. I felt it was thematic to the discussion so far this morning. We've got a few minutes left with our friend, Pastor Gino Geraci, founding pastor of Calvary South Denver. You can hear him on KRKS, host of Crosstalk every day during the week. And Gino, one thing that Brent McCorkle, the co-director of Jesus Revolution, and I spoke about in my interview is really this theme that they kept coming to regarding the outcast and about welcoming and accepting the outcast and not saying, hey, you're different, so I'm going to toss you aside. In fact, he says it's very much about opening the door to these hippies in terms of what Christianity is, Brent McCorkle said. We are in a very divisive moment. We touched on this a moment ago. But we are in a very divisive moment in our politics where it's almost like if you are a Democrat, then, or rather, you are a Republican, Democrats will say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you because you are Trump support. In fact, the actor Jim Gaffigan was originally supposed to play the late Chuck Smith in the movie Jesus Revolution, but he found out that your friend, Pastor Greg Laurie, is a Trump supporter, and he said, I can't do it. And then that's when Kelsey Grammer ended up taking on the role. Now, it made it a very different movie from what would have happened with Jim Gaffigan, and I think it worked out exactly as it should have with Kelsey Grammer, and he was excellent in the film. But the fact that you would have an actor say, well, one of the characters portrayed in the movie who's based on a real-life person supports this person that I disagree with vehemently in politics, I don't want to have anything to do with that movie. I just found that story a little bit ironic, but maybe speak to that, but particularly to this notion of the belonging of the outcast and not casting them aside.
Yeah, the way that I think about that is severalfold. Number one, I'm thinking about from an ideological standpoint, Chuck was very, very conservative. And as you can imagine, Lonnie is very, very what we would call progressive. From a political standpoint and an ideological standpoint, but he's going to make a shift towards a kind of a more conservatism. But the way that I would think about your question, Jimmy, is the bridge isn't just including people on the basis of love. The bridge, the ideological worldview bridge, has to do with suffering and brokenness. In other words, if this film reveals anything, is that the hippies, if you want to use that term, are broken in a very special way, and that Chuck, because of the current cultural situations, was more and more likely to include those kinds of people in his day-to-day interactions. But the whole point becomes, when you start to think about whether you're politically left or politically right, what do all human beings have in common? They understand that there's brokenness and suffering. Every single person looks at the fentanyl crisis or the drug situation or whatever political things you want to talk about, open borders or whatever. And the liberal will say, give them a handout. The conservative will say, give them a hand up. Both of them agree something's gone wrong with this person. Something's wrong, And how do we fix it? Something's wrong, and how do we fix it? And so to me, this is where the transcendent part of the movie becomes powerful. It is in order to fix this, there might be political problems that have political solutions. But what do you do with social and cultural, ideological, and dare I use the term spiritual problems? Do spiritual problems require a spiritual solution? Is there something wrong with human beings? And is it true that that problem can be solved spiritually? Is there something wrong culturally, socially, ideologically, the disintegration of the family? Go on and on and on. So imagine you're living in a world where you believe Christianity is the source of suffering rather than the solution to suffering. So imagine you're living in a world where ideological conservatism is the source of suffering rather than the solution to suffering. So to your point, Jimmy Sangenberger, guess what? I'm going to suggest to you that the divisions that exist now are even deeper, more entrenched than they were 50 years ago.
I would tend to agree with that. I wasn't around 50 years ago, of course, but I know you were. But I do see that, and we are in camps in a way. And now it is also political lines as opposed to, say, racial lines, which were still so prevalent in the 1970s, early 70s, or in terms of ethnic lines or religious lines. Right now it is Republican, Democrat. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Gino Geraci, check out his show, Crosstalk, over on KRKS, our Christian Talk and Teach station, a sister station. I really appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you so much for offering some perspective on a film that we could only get from someone who was there in the tent.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you so much. God bless. Again, we've been talking with Pastor Gino Geraci here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. I want to go out with one more Kelsey Grammer clip on talking about crises of faith, the connecting with the character of Chuck Smith. When we come back, the story about President Trump and the possible arrest on Tuesday of next week. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS.
I think we've all been through crises of faith in our lives. You know, I certainly lost my sense of faith for a while through several things. I mean, I'm working on a lot. I'm writing a book about my sister, actually, right even now, because I'm still sorting through some of that.
You lost your sister.
Yeah. Now. And
violent way.
All people stand on that sort of precipice in their lives where they suddenly need some intervention.
Yeah.
And in Chuck's case, of course, it comes through this guy, Lonnie Frisbee.
Coming back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, best damn bumper music known to man. Nearly 10 years running, it's Buddy Guy featuring Elvis Costello doing their tune Symptoms of Love from Buddy's most recent album, Blues Don't Lie. By the way, Buddy Guy is on his farewell tour, his damn right farewell tour, I think that's the name of it, coming to Fiddler's Green on July 29th. I just got tickets yesterday. Kenny Wayne Shepherd will be opening for Buddy Guy. It's his last time in Denver. Tickets are already selling out like hotcakes. So if you're interested, checking out Buddy Guy, give it a go, get some tickets. Also, last segment we had ZZ Top bring us back. Well, ZZ Top will be also playing on August 8th in Denver, Greenwood Village, at Fiddler's Green, along with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And, of course, Lynyrd Skynyrd no longer with any original band members. Who knows? This may be the last tour of Lynyrd Skynyrd, but that is happening at Fiddler's as well. Plus, Joe Bonamassa is coming to Red Rocks August 7th. I mean, what a great summer for music here in the Denver metro area. Good to be with you, News Talk 710 KNUS. All right, let's get to it. We've been teasing it and getting a little bit about it, but President Trump, the 45th president, has put out a Truth Social post suggesting he will be arrested by Tuesday. The former president specifically saying, quote, in part, in all caps posts, that he, quote, will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back. Now, this comes as Newsweek reports amid increased speculation that the former president could soon be indicted as part of the Manhattan DA's probe into a $130,000 reimbursement paid to former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen for a payment he made to adult film actor Stormy Daniels before the 2016 presidential election. This happened earlier this morning, Trump's post. And even before that, he tweeted out or truthed out, whatever you call it on Truth Social, again in all caps, our nation is now third world and dying. The American dream is dead. Now, as Newsweek reports, the former president's latest remarks about a potential arrest come after speculation about a possible indictment has grown in recent days, with NBC New York reporting on Friday that local, state, and federal law enforcement are preparing for the possibility of an indictment as early as next week, citing five senior officials familiar with the matter. Any indictment would likely center on Trump's company classifying a financial reimbursement to Cohen as legal expenses. It is against New York state law for companies to misclassify the nature of expenses, and such misclassification can lead to a misdemeanor charge. Now, as Newsweek reports, that charge can be raised to a felony if the misstatement took place in order to cover up another crime. Cohen previously pleaded guilty to campaign finance charges after helping to arrange the payments to Daniels. Earlier, Richard, the limo driver, texted him, Jimmy, I'm trying to figure out how this works. If Trump is in Florida, how does he get arrested for some case that's going on in New York State? Oh, by the way, the two star witnesses are Lil Michael Avenatti. He just says Avenatti in the tweet or in the text. But that's how. But that's what I call him. Lil Michael Avenatti. Lil Mikey Avenatti. And Michael Cohen. A couple of stand-up lawyers, yeah. Right, stand-up lawyers indeed. Look, here's the situation. So, in terms of being arrested, you know, I don't know how that plays out or if they ask Trump to turn himself in and he does it. I find it hard to believe that he wouldn't go and turn himself in if that's requested. Look, there are a lot of legal issues that the former president has. Donald Trump has a slew of legal problems, both criminal and civil. And it's a very tenuous situation for him with all of these cases. The thought of the one thing that he actually gets indicted on being this Stormy Daniels situation, as opposed to some of the other things that have been alleged against Trump, is pretty striking to me. I mean, if you're going to make history, and I'm not saying this in a good way, making history as we often do, but if you're going to make history for the first time ever by indicting and arresting a former president of the United States, I don't know that this is the kind of case that you do it with. It's a big deal with Trump. Now, here's the bigger implication. If he ends up convicted quickly, that's hypothetical. He's indicted and he's convicted and the trial happens pretty darn quickly. I don't believe he can continue to run for president of the United States, even as his case might be on appeal. Now, How do you see this unfolding? 303-696-1971. Stand-up lawyers? Haha, what are you talking about? So that was a text from Richard the limo driver, and he was not serious. He was sarcastic. I was chuckling about it. And then going on, he should walk, would you walk? I'm not sure what you mean by that. But no, stand-up lawyers. Michael Cohen ain't a stand-up lawyer. Little Michael Avenatti. Mikey Avenatti. He ain't a stand-up lawyer. That guy's got his own legal problems. Remember last year when he was convicted? I mean, there's the games that Avenatti plays. No, they are not stand-up lawyers. That was sarcasm from Richard, echoed by yours truly. But what do you make of this? 303-696-1971. Is this the case? The Stormy Daniels matter? Now going into criminal law? Is this the case that brings down Donald Trump? Is this the case that gets him? I can't imagine they would actually throw him in prison. As a former president, I would expect that he would probably be under some sort of house arrest. It makes me think of the show 24, one of my favorite shows of all time. You have the character of President Charles Logan in season 5, and he becomes a traitor to the country and ends up under house arrest after that when he's convicted or some deal is reached. I would see that's probably something that would happen for a form. But we're in new territory, a very concerning territory in so many ways. But I mean, you look at the various cases against Trump, and this one is just something else as far as the kind of case to go after Trump in this instance. Your thoughts, 303-696-1971. You can also text into the show on the 710-KNUS app on your smartphone. Please include your name and town. Name and town if you wish to chime in on the app. Jimmy Sangenberger here with you. News Talk 710-KNUS. We'll check in with Babak Behzadi as well in the next hour on Iran. Keep it here, 710 KNUS.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.